it was about 3 years ago. I was actually at the Restaurant Leadership Conference down in Phoenix, and I was listening to the CEO and founder of Hot Schedules was doing a breakout session, and they were had done a deep study on what factors lead to direct correlation with restaurant level profitability. And they looked at all kinds of different, you know, factors, location, population. They were just all kinds of, and they looked at a lot of internal that may drive restaurant level profitability. And what they found was that the one consistent driver was the length of time that the general manager has been in their role within the restaurant.
Welcome to the Restaurant General Manager Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Stanfield, the GM coach. I have the privilege to interview some of the most successful people in the restaurant and leadership worlds. You can listen to the Restaurant General Manager Podcast on most platforms. If you have Apple Podcasts, please do me a favor and subscribe. Also, stay tuned for one of the most important tools any manager can have in their kit and how to get it for free. This episode really highlights the importance of the general manager in retaining the GM over a longer time frame. In January, before the COVID-19 days were upon us, I had the pleasure of speaking with Ryan Achterhoff, the chief administrative officer of Pizza Ranch. And what I found is that he has more data to prove this point than most. He can show the direct correlation between profitability and the length of service by the general manager. Due to the dawn of celebrity chefs, restaurants have changed and are now more than ever about the food. On the customer side, the change is, it's about being a foodie and Instagrammable dishes. But I have to ask a very important question. How can a general manager have a lasting impact on the people and the profits? To get some answers, please listen and enjoy my conversation with Ryan Achterhoff.
Today's guest is the chief administrative officer for a restaurant brand that has over 200 locations in 14 states, Ryan Achterhoff, the CAO of Pizza Ranch. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. And well, my first question is, how can a pizza buffet brand have the country's best chicken?
Well, that's a really good question, Scott. I think, we've been in business for almost 40 years and been franchising for a majority of that time, and was primarily a pizza restaurant concept. We did have a buffet at lunch, which included both pizza and salad. And one of our franchisees, actually from Sioux City, Iowa, contacted us about 25 years ago and said, hey, we have a great recipe for chicken, for roasted chicken, and feel that it would be a great addition to Pizza Ranch's product line, and especially on the buffet. And so we did a test with them. It was really well received by our guests, and we developed it a little further and put it into process. And now it's a really key part of our product offering in both out the door for to-go and delivery orders, but also on our buffet. And that's kind of the story behind us having the country's best chicken.
Roasted chicken. I grew up in South Carolina, and there was one particular place, Zesto's, and we would go to the one in Triangle City in West Columbia. It was close to where I worked, and we went there a couple times a week. And so I probably had more roasted chicken than my heart would like for me to have, to be honest with you, over the years. But now I'm, you know, more into, I've been keto for a long time, 4 years before it was really a thing. And so even though you've got pizza and you've got roasted chicken, which is amazing, by the way, but how can people eat healthy in your restaurant as well?
Well, yeah, and that is really a key issue for any restaurant concept is people understanding that there's times they like to indulge and like to go out and have fun and indulge on occasion, but we know that providing healthy options is also really critical. And so we do have several healthy options with our fresh vegetable bar that goes along with our chicken. We also have a fresh salad bar with a variety of options for people who are looking for healthy options. We provide lower calorie options even on our pizza buffet with thin crust and low cheese options. And recognizing that, and when you have a family come in for our buffet, we want to provide for everyone in the family. And so it's a big part of our offering. And I didn't mention this earlier, but we really have had almost like a cult-like following for our chicken that's really developed over the years. And we've had several requests that we should change the name of our company from Pizza Ranch to Chicken Ranch. So it's a big part of our offer. And as well, we are very focused on providing a nice variety for our guests.
You know, that's really a key right now. What is considered healthy now is, to be honest, all over the map. You know, and one time, you know, for a long time, I worked as a director of food and beverage at a hospital. And so I got to learn a lot about diets, and I had two dietitians that reported to me. One, you know, has a PhD, and I got to pick their brain. And this was, you know, dating back 8 years ago, and I was actually overweight. I was, for the second time, 40 pounds overweight. And I'd been a vegetarian for about 10 years at the time. And I thought I was doing all the right things. And come to find out, I wasn't. And so I think that, you know, we have to find what really works for us, and having all those options for people. And I mean, we all want to splurge and cheat days and feast days and those things. But, and having, you know, some good fried roasted chicken is a good way to do that. And then you also can, you know, have a salad or, you know, lower calorie, you know, somebody else in the family can have a lower calorie pizza at the same time. I think that's a great way to go about this.
What is the most important skill a restaurant manager must own? Is it writing schedules, reading a P&L, or controlling cost? The answer is none of the above. For over 25 years, I've been managing and leading restaurants, and this is what I've learned. Each and every shift, you must be prepared to deal with heated guests and employees. Learn my step-by-step method to turn the tables on unhappy guests and employees. Titled Upset to Happy in One Conversation, this is more than just a free ebook. To start taking your guests from upset to happy in one conversation, click on the link in the show notes or go to my website, thegmcoach.com/upset to happy, to get your free copy today.
So I probably got ahead of myself a little bit. I didn't really ask you any questions about you and what your role is as the chief administrative officer and what you do and how you got in the restaurant business. So if you want to back up a little bit, we can, you know, get into a little bio on Ryan.
All right. Well, I've been with Pizza Ranch for 18 years. And prior to Pizza Ranch, I was actually in the banking industry. And that's how I got to know the owner of Pizza Ranch. I was a commercial lender. I was doing some financing for some of their expansion and Pizza Ranch starts. I helped with some of their cash management programs for corporate Pizza Ranch. And one day he walked to my office and said, "Hey, we have a position we think would be a good match for you. Would you be interested in looking at it?" I did, and came over to Pizza Ranch really in an operational type role where I really focused on supply chain management and contracts for all of our food systems, our farm to plate system, commonly used in the industry. But that's how I started with Pizza Ranch, was delving into our contracts and developing new distribution opportunities and lower cost options to lower our cost of food in our system, and to create greater profitability at the restaurant level. And so that was the first maybe 5 years of my career with Pizza Ranch for that area. I also started to get more involved with the franchise development side of the business, helping with our disclosures, our franchise contracts and franchise agreements. And so today, My position has evolved where I head up all of the legal aspects of our business, from, you know, state and federal disclosure, staying in compliance with the requirements for franchising, and also just working on helping also our new franchisees with both their financing, their business startups, setting themselves up for success with their real estate contracts, and just supporting the system kind of on the legal contract and development side. I'm also a franchisee of Pizza Ranch. I'm a part owner in 5 locations. I have 2 partners that I partner with, and we've been in business for about 11 years on the franchise side with 5 locations. So very engaged with day-to-day operations in our business as well, which has really helped in terms of my consulting with our franchise system as well. So primarily my position is in the development side, people development, franchise, all the contract work for the company, including our supply chain system.
I mean, you're in such a good spot because, you know, where you are in your position, you get to see so much data, you also get to help put that in practice on the stores you're partnering in. So, I'm thinking that maybe you could even test some new strategies or help develop new strategies that help the overall brand.
Very much so. I think that's been the biggest benefit of getting involved in ownership at the restaurant level. The founder of Pizza Ranch is still actively involved after 39 years in business. He's still actively involved leading the company. He started when he was 20 years old, so he's had a long run here, but he was encouraging me. You know, I think you should get into ownership on the franchise side, and I always felt like it would be maybe a conflict of interest, but it's been really to the contrary. It's helped me really, like you said, test ideas, business development, people development, management development programs, incentive programs, bonus programs, et cetera, that we have used in our restaurants and have also developed into standard practices for the franchise system as well. So it's been a really good move for me professionally, I think it's been a big part of me creating even better contacts and alliances within our franchise system.
Right. It's so beneficial. I've seen this before or similar to this when I worked for a franchise, and I saw a lot of they had 80 franchises and they had about the same amount of company stores. It was Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And a lot of the franchise owners that had multiple locations, like yours is 5, they would have, you know, 5, 6, sometimes, you know, 8 to 13 locations were former executives with the company from years ago that had went on the store side, but were no longer on the corporate side. So it's interesting to see how you're bridging the, you know, both of these at the same time and helping develop things that actually are helping the entire brand move forward. That's really cool to see, you know, how you're helping, you know, not only in the, you know, the profitability side of it and testing things, but also, you know, from the beginning aspect of, you know, putting together the finance packages and helping coaching them and getting them going and the legal side of things. So that's really amazing that, you know, and that's probably due to the, you know, the health of 39 years of the brand. Yes.
Yep. I believe it is.
Perfect. Well, how we met was in the Restaurant Leadership Conference, but you were on a panel for a digital training platform called DiscoverLink. And training is such a huge piece of what we do. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about DiscoverLink and how it's helping, you know, spread the message and the training through all these 214 locations, I think?
That is correct, yes. Yeah, our relationship with DiscoverLink goes back a few years, and they have created what we call our training foundation. It's a web-based a connection point for our restaurants and for all of our restaurant level team members to really develop them, to have a core tracking for progress made towards certified level team members in various roles within the restaurant. We have some back of house certification, front of house certification, going on to shift leader and assistant managers and general manager programs that are computer-based training modules that are taken by our team members, and it's loaded into this DiscoverLink tracking program that helps us to track the progress, kind of how strong our bench strength is in our restaurants. You know, how well trained are we? And we do see a direct correlation between guest loyalty, overall satisfaction, also retention with our management teams and also our team level employees by having this type of engagement program that people know that they're on track for their own personal development, which will help them to be promoted and have opportunities within the restaurant.
So is there a magic number, like a certain percentage of training that's completed that you see things start clicking over inside of a store or something like that that could help us understand how important training is?
Well, I think I just read this past week in Restaurant Finance Monitor, a very recent survey from 2019 of general managers, and they interviewed those who have left a position and gone to a new position with another restaurant. And they asked, you know, why did you leave? And there were three key reasons. One was pay and benefits. It's becoming a bigger part of why people stay. But the other two were related to work-life balance and kind of harmony in my work and life. And you're hearing more and more of that. You know, you can't just work people 80 hours and hit, you know, 12 out of 14 shifts. It's just a different world. And I think restaurateurs are just waking up to the need to provide that balance. But the third reason they left was promotability, to know that they want to see that there's opportunity. And I think that's at the core of what this development program does for us. To say that there's a magical percentage or number, I can't give you an exact, you know, answer to that. But I do know that restaurants that are more fully engaged in training and have more people trained in cross-functional opportunities and positions where they can work more than one position as they move up, and that have certification targets, have lower turnover and higher retention of their staff. And I think another part of that is the engagement of the general manager, that the general manager is using this platform and these tools to develop and train their people. So they've got a tool that's helping them do their job and makes the effort and the job in the restaurant easier, frankly, to have people that are well-trained and doing the job. That then is a direct correlation with higher levels of guest loyalty and overall satisfaction. So we definitely see direct correlations all the way up. And then ultimately, the final number that's really important in franchising and really for any independent restaurant as well is higher level profit at those locations that have higher levels of engagement, training, and lower turnover. And those all add up to greater profits.
They do. And we don't really pay attention. We talk about lowering turnover. We talk about retention. We talk about training. But, you know, not a lot of times we talk about actually what does turnover cost us. And it's a huge expense. And it actually can be, if not careful, higher than even food costs can, especially, you know, food cost traditionally in pizza restaurants is going to be lower than it is going to be in a restaurants like I have led over the years, you know, USDA prime grade steakhouses. And so if you're not careful, you know, turnover can definitely eat away at the bottom line, no pun intended. And this training program sounds like, or the tracking piece and all these things sounds a long way from, hey, welcome to the team. Now go follow Sally around for 3 days and then we'll let you, you know, go talk to some people and make a bunch of mistakes. And then we'll correct you over the next 6 weeks and see how it goes. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, you know, one of the
we've learned through that as well.
Yeah. We do. Right. There's an element of that. I mean, that's the, you know, I see that in some ways. And I see other training programs that are, you know, very, you know, book-based. You got to read this and take a test and do those things. You got to think, I've been in part of, you know, the ecosystem of franchises that have all of those things. And I've been through two very extensive manager and training programs. One with Bruce Chris, that was a 7-week program that, because I'd been the GM for 8 months already, they let me do that in a shorter amount of time, which was tough. I did it in 5 weeks, and a 7 weeks worth of material done in 5 weeks. That was a tough one. And I went to another one that was 11 weeks long, and it was 4 weeks in the kitchen and then 7 weeks front of the house in two different restaurants, and only 3 days between the two. And they were, you know, three states away from each other. So it was, you know, as you know, MIT training programs or training programs can be grueling, especially up front for people who want to really lay down the foundation for what a brand is, what a concept is, and their way of doing things from, you know, from the front door to the back door. And so, you know, listening to you talk about this, and now let's make my next question really is, because this is digital based, this is tracking based. What kind of, are you seeing a bigger engagement from younger generations that are taken to the digital program, or is there negative? And also a second part of that question would be, is there negative impact from people who are from an older generation because it's all digital based?
It's a very good question. And I say we've seen some of both, but the engagement with the younger generation has outweighed any negatives associated with some of the older folks struggling to make the transition. We do with some of our legacy locations that have been around, part of the foundation of the brand, with franchisees who have been in business for over 30 years. So that's the small number of people that kind of need some help walking through this. We have options for them as well. But their teams are younger and are wanting to be engaged with this type of system. And it's just being able to provide some support to get them onboarded with it to start, and to tell them that, you know, this isn't as intimidating as it appears. And so we have, and that age is going up very quickly in terms of people that are looking for this type of tool, a digital tool, a web-based opportunity to do their training. To get immediate feedback on their knowledge, the quiz systems that are part of this are just giving you immediate feedback on if you pass, and it records it immediately. And I think people, there's no question we've had both ends, but the engagement and the excitement around the younger generations accepting this and wanting it and pushing it have far outweighed some of the older folks who have struggled with it.
That's amazing. You know, and this is coming. I mean, we're seeing, baby boomers, you know, retiring, and we're seeing the millennials and, you know, even younger, you know, younger generations. I think it's like what they're calling them, Generation Z are coming on board now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, my daughter's 12 and I see the things that she's making on, you know, online. She's, you know, are doing things and it's like, I can't even imagine what the work, you know, what the training programs and workforce is going to look like in the coming years. And, you know, in the restaurants, you know, I think we're working with people 16 to in their 60s, all, you know, and there's multiple generations that we're leading. And this is, and the world's changing really fast. And this is, I see this as an amazing tool to be able to help restaurant, you know, leaders and managers really, you know, take everything to the next level, make your job easier, which is part of the piece of it, right? I guess that would be some work-life balance, right? Where, because you can have a tool that helps you really check a box on the training piece. Now, I want to transition here because I'm sorry to interrupt. The real reason I have you on is because this one quote you said was, we see a direct correlation between GM retention and profitability. And I just, in a world where we live in right now, where we got celebrity chefs and the world revolves around, you know, this type of world and foodies and fast casual and those type of things, I'm really want to dig a little bit deeper into this and what you're seeing and how you are using the data that you have to hold on to general managers.
Yeah. That's a really good question, Scott. And it was about 3 years ago. I was actually at the Restaurant Leadership Conference down in Phoenix, and I was listening to the CEO and founder of Hot Schedules was doing a breakout session, and they had done a deep study on what factors lead to direct correlation with restaurant level profitability. And they looked at all kinds of different, you know, factors, location, population. There were just all kinds of, and they looked at a lot of internal that may drive restaurant level profitability. And what they found was that the one consistent driver was the length of time that the general manager has been in their role within the restaurant. It was kind of like the one factor that most directly drove restaurant level profitability across all segments of the industry. And it was fascinating to me to hear that. They actually were comparing it to baseball's use of sabermetrics and how baseball is, professional baseball is getting more involved in, you know, what's driving wins for baseball teams. And they had determined, and this is part of the Billy Ball of the Oakland A's, they had determined that on-base percentage had the greatest direct correlation with winning. And so it kind of changed how they developed people and brought in new people into their system. And they used similar methodology to putting this study together for the restaurant industry. And our one key thing is general manager retention. And so we began a program the last 2 years, actually here in 2020, it's becoming our first initiative, is putting a whole program around general manager development and retention, knowing that that will lead then to lower restaurant turnover and greater retention, which then will lead into greater unit profitability. And so that's been our focus this year.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, our industry, we bounce around a fair amount. You know, when you start looking at, you know, resumes of people who've been managers and are looking online, maybe on LinkedIn, how long somebody's moved up the ladder, and you're looking sometimes 18 months, you know, and my minimum time at a job is, you know, three and a half years is really what I've done over my career. And so we probably gets a little sticky sometimes when, if you're trying to hold on to a GM for a long time because of that promotability piece that you were talking about earlier in that article you read. And because they might want to make a little bit more money, but then it's like there's caps, right? So people want to make more money, then we get promoted, maybe be a regional. So are you seeing any kind of issues with that coming down the road?
Yeah, they certainly are there. And I think the key, and we did a pretty deep dive into best practices in our chain where we saw really strong retention of general managers. And what were those owners doing different than others? And, you know, I think we've really boiled that down to really five key things. And two of them really are build the foundation. And that foundation is built on engagement and appreciation. And what we found is that goes a long way. You have to be very intentional. It's got to be genuine. It can't be just a forced program. But you as an owner, finding a way to engage your management teams in the running of the restaurant, in the setting of goals, in helping them drives success in the restaurant. And in that type of engagement requires a commitment to communication, feedback, and really doing some strong planning together with your management teams. So that was a beginning point for it. And then the appreciation piece is understanding, you know, what makes your general managers tick, and maybe words of encouragement, might be just small gifts of appreciation. It may be some time, but if I'm spending time as an owner, shoulder to shoulder with them in the restaurant, that means a lot to some people. And so we began there at the very basics of understanding our people and genuinely engaging them in the business and also showing appreciation from them. And then compensation and bonus programs and creating work-life balance and even possibly some ownership opportunities. We know are things that are important and that helped our system retain their people. And so we're developing some programs around those five levers that we call it to give us long-term success in retaining people. Now, what does that do in terms of your lower line managers not seeing opportunity? That's a great challenge for us. Just like you pointed out there, Scott, they have a great retention program. Where's the opportunity? And that becomes through maybe even finding other opportunities within the system, maybe going to another franchisee. Hopefully our franchisees are seeing, wow, if we expand into a new market, it may create opportunity for my assistant manager who's waiting for that opportunity. So it's kind of planting the seed for that type of vibrant setting where there's expansion and opportunity happening. And sometimes it has to go outside that individual franchisee and convince them, hey, sometimes letting my assistants go and grow creates new opportunity in my line. Plus, they get to go to grow in their professional careers with someone else. And so that's probably at the core of the answer to that and what we're trying to do, and what we're trying to create. And so far, it's going pretty well for us.
What I see is happening here, if I peel back the top layer, is not only are you building your bench strength through cross training on the line level, but you're also building bench strength in the management team because you're keeping your GMs longer and then developing the assistants. And then now you have almost a feeder system, and staying in the baseball world, right? So a feeder system as new stores are opening, or, you know, as things are happening there.
Right. Very much so. And it can be tricky in a franchise system because of the protections. You can't recruit from other franchisees, and there's these triggers in our franchise agreements, but we have such a, progressive set of franchisees that understand the big picture. And what helps the system helps them. And to know that we've got 90% of our franchisees that feel that way creates the right kind of environment for this type of development to happen. And, you know, sitting down with all of our owners last summer, actually at our national conference, we had that conversation. You know, what does this look like for us if we're really going to engage and develop our management teams and create opportunity for advancement for everyone? What does that look like, and how can we do this together? And they brought us all the ideas. And now we're taking those best practices and putting them into development programs for our management teams. And yeah, we're excited that we're at this place.
The two core pieces of the five levers, the engagement and appreciation, are things that, you know, and I'm speaking from experience, I've been managing restaurants for 26 years, that a lot of times those things get lost on managers and general managers. You know, we're instructed from higher above, whether it's owners or regionals or a corporate office, to have an employee appreciation program. But a lot of times there's not a lot of appreciation for what we do and how much we give and those things. And so, and that's what we're human too. We want the same things for our jobs and what other people get for their jobs. And so I think that starting there is a huge step in the right direction. And so And that's refreshing, to be honest with you, of seeing that, because, you know, I've gone through restaurants and people who worked for me in the past said, Scott only points out the things that are going wrong. And those are seasons of my life and seasons of my career that I've done that. But when you walk around and you're trying to find things that are people are doing right, it changes the entire attitude in the entire restaurant. And I can only imagine if you've got a 214 general managers and you got a whole network of people trying to find out things are doing right. It's probably pretty exciting to see the numbers on your side where you're at.
Yes. And ultimately, you know, it is about the people, and knowing that our heart really at the core is to want to provide the best for people and to know that they're growing. And that's a big part of our work-life balance program is not just so we can have better GMs running our restaurant. It's also that we have opportunities for people to develop themselves outside of the workplace and, you know, to provide programs for them to grow professionally and personally and spiritually in different ways that creates a more rounded person and leader. And then that translates just into a culture that people just want to be part of. And we've got a ways to go, but that's our goal is to have that kind of heart going into it. And a majority of our owners and franchisees have that kind of attitude. And what happens is the more you try to give away in terms of development and encouragement comes back to you tenfold in terms of effort and which just makes your restaurants better. And it takes an investment. It takes a commitment. It's not easy. You got to manage and run your businesses. And you can't just sit back and hope that your general managers do a great job. It's being engaged as an owner and really creating that culture in your restaurants.
Absolutely. You know, the more I focus on becoming a better leader, you know, in all aspects of that may be in whatever trail I'm going down, whether it be, you know, how to use an intent-based leadership or emotional intelligence or how to perform better under pressure or, you know, book I was, you know, flipping through earlier this morning, The Coaching Habit by Michael Bungay Stanier and, you know, those type of things, they trickle over into me being a better dad and a better husband and even, you know, on some levels a better son, right? Cause I'm more emotionally stable, right? When things, you know, go that way. And, you know, we're looking at with the 14 states you're in, you're in middle America. Family is a big piece of what you do. And a lot of times, you know, the restaurant business and family conflict each other. So I'm curious to see if this is part of the work-life balance that you're doing here.
Yeah, it really is. And that's where it starts is just having a heart-to-heart with our attitudes and our emphasis of our owners. Yeah, we want to make money. We've got to be profitable. We have to understand what we can pay our leaders and our managers and our restaurants. You have to look at the economic model. It's got to make sense. And then from there, you begin to, okay, but really at the core, we want to have impact on our people and we want to have impact on our guests that come into our restaurants and that they have the kind of positive experience that makes our communities better and that provides a place for families and friends to come together to celebrate. And, we always say for a lot of our guests, the best part of their day is when they walk into Pizza Ranch. And for our leaders in our restaurant and all of our staff in the restaurants to know that and to kind of create that magic for them and for our guests is really what it's all about. And it brings so much fulfillment beyond, you know, the pay and other aspects of our job, which are very, very important, but really the connections we make in our restaurants, what's special about our industry. You know, I've got a friend who's a doctor. He says, I'm kind of jealous of you, Ryan, as a restaurant guy. I said, well, why? We get to work weekends and Saturdays and Sundays during crunch time. They go, no. I mean, you get to see people on their best day and at the best part of their day. I always get to see them on their worst day because they're sick and So there is something about that. It's really a positive part of our industry. It's something that we can really leverage with our people, that they're going to want to stay in our industry because it's a cool place.
It is. You know, there's so many celebrations that go in restaurants, birthdays, graduations, anniversaries, proposals happen in them. I mean, it's, and I tend to work in places that are resort areas, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, Park City, Utah, now in Santa Monica. And so we get to see a lot of really cool things happen in restaurants and connect with people. And we get holiday dinners, when you're in resort areas, you don't take the holidays off. And going back to the hospital director of food and beverage, there was a lot of people in the hospital on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, not a lot of people on Monday, not a lot of people on Friday. And not a lot of holidays at all. I wasn't even scheduled to work on holidays, which was an odd thing. And so you're right. We have such a great industry and it is, about people. It really is about having the right people on our teams and growing them, developing them, training them, and doing all those things. And that's what makes the real difference. And it's something that I've been really focusing on the last 12 years is really about how to select the right team members. And so I agree with you 100%. And I really love what you guys are doing, especially as a GM, given the attention of GM retention. So I'm going to transition over, because just a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned compensation a couple of times. We have Taco Bell is throwing down a big number for its GMs to come, $100,000. They're testing this. So what do you think the ripple effect of this? This is probably doing with unemployment being so low and trying to get some talent in. It's just, wonder what your thoughts are on this.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that you have to know your economic model and what you can afford to pay. Each restaurant system is probably going to provide a different opportunity for pay for their leaders and general managers in their restaurant. I think knowing that there's a lot of competition, our unemployment's at 50, 60 year lows, it's creating greater demand for good people. And with continued expansion, even unit expansion in our industry, just keeps putting pressure on that available talent. And that's exactly why you're seeing this from, the Taco Bells of the world is, it's a reality that you're facing. Can every system provide six-figure incomes for their managers? A lot of that can be driven by the size of community, the available employment in the community. So I think you need to understand that. I want to be one of the best paying employers, for middle and upper management type positions in my market. And so understanding your market and what it pays is very important, and keeping your finger on the pulse of that. And then beyond that, it's providing opportunity for compensation for going above and beyond the average. So having a bonus program that rewards your general managers financially, when I'm making more money as an owner, you're making more money as a manager, and that we're working together to create systems that allow us to control our food costs, to run efficient labor without waste, without killing everybody with tough workloads, and finding that so that really people who love their job, love the culture, love the impact they're having on others. And then the pay comes in line with that, knowing, hey, I'm competitive. Maybe I'm not the highest paid employer in my market, but I'm right there and I'm very competitive. And you need to know that. If it takes a six-figure income and your model, allows for that, to do it. It's very interesting to hear that from the industry.
It is, I've seen the same things, unemployment, and I totally get it. I totally get where we are with it. And you're right. We have to look at the budget of a particular store and say, what is the budget for salary managers? What is the budget for hourly? How can we manage our numbers better? How can we manage food costs, labor costs? If you have liquor, beer, and wine, how are you managing those costs and controlling theft and overpouring and people giving things away and mistakes and with your waste log and, you know, all those different things go into all of this stuff. And then you throw into the fact that, you know, a bonus program, you know, for someone sometimes have, you know, maybe out of reach because the budget's too, you know, too high from where it should be. Or sometimes the budget's too low and people are triggering bonuses for not actually working that hard because just organic growth is happening in that particular part of the town. So it can go all over in different directions. And I guess calibrating our crystal balls would be the best way to do it, but to try to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, it's like just throwing a number out there and saying, hey, wait a minute, Taco Bell's paying $100,000. I'm going to go over there. That's not the right way to look at it because it could be short lived. It could be, you know, just part of a test and doesn't work out. Or, you know, comparing yourself to that is not the right thing to do because you have to look at the economics of the particular store you're running at that particular time or right. overseeing or wherever yeah. you are in that process. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, certainly we don't have that crystal ball, but the important part is to understand your numbers and understand what a well-run restaurant can do so that you can maximize that opportunity for your general manager on the financial side, on the benefit side. And we provide some intangibles as well. You know, some of our training programs and development programs are intangibles for that general manager to develop themselves in their life. And, you know, really to cast the vision for, you know, what being a GM for Pizza Ranch is all about or being a manager in our system is all about. And, you know, it is money, which is a good part of this. Money's important, especially today. In the market we're in, but so understanding it and then building just a really well-rounded program for your managers is what it's all about.
Right. You know, what I was going to say earlier is I often quote Arnold Schwarzenegger, and this is not somebody in this one particular thing because I saw it was an interview or documentary, and he said the movie he made the most money off of was not any of the movies you would think, because the first one would become Terminator 2, 3 or all of those, but it was actually Twins, his first comedy movie, because the producers wouldn't take the risk up front. So they agreed to pay him and the director and Danny DeVito on the back end of the movie. And because they split the percentages up based off what they were making for the other movies they were making. And obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger in his heyday was making more money than anybody else. So we got a bigger piece of the pie on the back side of this. And he ended up making more money from Twins than he did from any of the other action movies he filmed and acted in and those things. And so I correlate that to a strong bonus program can really help someone make more money than they can on the front end. Because if you really go out and do your work, right? Hire people that are awesome or train them. You use DiscoverLink or however the company trains them, right? Hold them accountable, appreciate them, you know, discipline them when they're necessary, lead them. And then lower turnover. Next thing you know, you're going to be making more money than you ever have. I mean, that's the way that I'm seeing all these pieces fall together.
Yeah. Yes, it does. And I think another piece of this, Scott, is understanding what drives your managers. You know, I've got 5 locations and we have a different bonus program in each one. And a big part of that was understanding the personality and the stage of life that our different managers were in. And that for some, actually stability of a stronger base salary with less variable bonus type was more motivating to them. They actually perform better under that system. Others are driven more by a share of profit and they feel, you know, that variability is fine because they've got flexibility in it because of their life stage or whatever. And so it's not just kind of creating a cookie cutter either. Program is to, yeah, understand all the levers, even within my compensation and bonus program, that I can pull, put together the right kind of program that maximizes the potential of your restaurant and rewards your people for the work.
That's really interesting. Do you also take in consideration maybe the life cycle where the restaurant is? Maybe it's a newer restaurant or one that's been underperforming that you know it can get back to where it was, or one that's more mature. Is that another way of slicing this pie between the base salary and the budget? I mean, the bonus, excuse me.
It definitely is. I think when we see a new restaurant open, or we open a new restaurant, I speak as a franchisee, we work very much more on a base salary program to start. Just because there's so much variability of training and turnover and everything at the beginning, and sales are booming out of the blocks, and it's just this unusual part of the restaurant life cycle. And so our first year looks a lot different than the years after that, as you fall, not drop, but kind of fall into more normal cost structures and more normal sales. And then you kind of build off of that from there. So there is really something to say for life cycle. After you do a remodel, it kind of regenerates a restaurant location. And you can actually, what I found is what a remodel does for our guests. They love it when you do a remodel and you refresh. Hey, we're going to be around. We're here for another 10 years. The same thing happens with your staff and your leaders. Is they get... there's a re-energized spirit that comes into them when you've invested back in their facility. And so that just little ways, different ways that your restaurant will evolve over time that impacts the motivation and also the structure of bonus and pay.
And there's so much to learn from a company that's been around 40 years. You know, when you start looking at all these pieces and the psychology behind these things, it's, you know, today it's been a great conversation. I really, really have enjoyed it. And I feel like there's so much that we can learn and even dig into deeper that is just hidden to people who haven't like stayed in one place long enough to really like learn, you know, the, like you said, the life cycle of a longer ran restaurant and how that looks. I can't thank you enough, really. So I was going to, I mean, one more question. Is there anything else that you would like to add that maybe it'd be a secret ingredient to, you know, successful and profitable restaurants?
Well, Scott, I think the secret ingredient is commitment to take action. You know, it's one thing to understand the disruptors and the factors in the market that are, you know, creating the challenges. It's one thing to even understand what you should do to put yourself in a position to win. But the key is to actually put it into action. And that's the hardest part. You know, I've heard it said that if you ask a group who wants to be excellent, almost 100% of the people will say, I want to be excellent at what I do. But only 10% are really willing to do the work it takes to be excellent. And so that's my encouragement for anyone who's listening is to use your mind, do some great planning, but the key is to take action. You're going to make some mistakes, you adjust as you go, but put something into place that will really impact the leaders in your restaurant, and you'll find them much more satisfied, and you'll start to create retention and greater profitability. So that would be my encouragement to everyone.
Wow, that's absolutely taking action. You know, taking time, putting all the pieces together, and then actually implement what your plan is. That's doesn't get any more plain than that. So. Yeah. Ryan, where can we find you online, or where are Pizza Ranch? Where can we find out about getting a franchise and all those things?
Yeah, you can go to pizzaranch.com, and there you'll find a link to our development work website, which will bring you into the franchising opportunities. I think it says franchise opportunities right on there. And that's how you can link through to find out more about our brand and to connect with us and start the dialogue.
That sounds absolutely amazing. I can't thank you enough for being on the show today. And we'll sign off here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
You've been listening to the Restaurant General Manager Podcast. I hope you visit again soon. Please like, comment, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. You can find me, Scott Stanfield, on LinkedIn or at my website, thegmcoach.com. Please stay tuned each week for new episodes of the Restaurant General Manager Podcast. Thanks for listening.